So we're going to discuss weapons for the zombie apocalypse and safety around them. And the first weapon I'm going to discuss is a cane, because the best weapon is one that you can have with you always. And this is the last weapon a government will be able to take away from you, because too many people need it. This used to be a sword cane. Sword canes are a waste. I have a big brass knob on the top. I don't need a sword in it. I can. Might not be good against the zombies, but it will help you against the scavengers.
Right.
And so this is actually, and I occasionally need a cane to walk, so that's why I originally got this. And it works really well. And it's what I have when I can't have anything else near me. Because a weapon at home put away when the zombie apocalypse happens and you're at work does you no good. So three basic types of weapons that we're going to show. Handguns, shotguns, and rifles. Rifles are great for long range. Shotguns are great for home defense and close range. Handguns are great for to have with you always.
What's the longest practical range of being able to take down a zombie with a shotgun?
With a shotgun? Depends on what it's loaded with. Bird shot, 25 feet.
Okay.
Buck shot, 50 feet.
Okay.
Slug, 100 feet.
All right.
Or sorry, slug, 100 yards.
100 yards, okay.
Yeah, a 12 gauge with a slug will fire up. I mean, you can take a deer down at 100 yards.
Okay.
Scoped, maybe longer. Longest practical range with a rifle is how far your rifle's rated. I mean, the current record for a rifle shot is 2,200 kilometers.
Sure.
Wow. Oh, sorry, 2,200 meters. Not yeah. 2,200 meters. But that's still over a mile.
That shot went around
that's
the world.
Crazy.
That, yes, the world record for, and it was a Canadian military sniper with a custom high-end 50 caliber sniper rifle. I mean, it was his job.
I read a sniper book, and it freaked me out that it said, like, when they take really, really long shots, they have to take the curvature of the earth into consideration.
Oh, yeah. There's
that blew my little mind.
I actually got an app for my phone, because I'm that kind of geek, that is a sniper shot calculator.
Nice.
And they have a computer that's about this big that they put in the wind speed and the wind direction and how far the shot is and all of this. And it says, okay, you know, the earth is going to rotate this much.
Because even at the speed of it, at a shot of like a mile takes, you know.
Well, and the world record shot was done in Afghanistan. So the world record before that is actually who a lot of people have heard of. It was Carlos Hathcock, Sergeant Carlos Hathcock in Vietnam, who came up with the idea of using 50 caliber rounds as long range sniper rounds. And he took somebody out at, it was still over a mile, I want to say it was 1,800 meters, with a 50 caliber machine gun that he custom mounted a scope to. And this is the old style with two triggers.
Oh, wow.
And he would hold one back and single shoot it with the other. So we're talking a difference of 300 to 400 meters, but the difference between a totally hacked together gun and one made for the job.
Yeah.
Why would it happen?
That's just how they're called motor flickers. It's so that you didn't accidentally pull the trigger, mostly.
So you
have
to hold down one.
Yep. So, we'll do handguns first. Two basic kinds of handguns, if you want to get that out. And my kids are helping me to show that even kids this young know gun safety. And part of it is because I have guns in my house, my kids all have been trained on gun safety. So, pop the clip. Notice, keep the barrel away from people. Yep. And actually, he was practicing on my other automatic, not that one, so.
What are we looking at?
This is a Glock 9mm, compact frame. We didn't bring the holster for it. The nice thing about handguns is you can conceal them anywhere. Again, the only handgun that's handy is the one you always have with you. I can conceal my handgun without this shirt on, and unless you know I have it, you would not know that it was there. Because I have a holster made for that. So.
And you have a concealed weapon license.
And I have a concealed weapon permit, which in this state is $55, good for 5 years, and unless they can prove you can't have one, they have to give it to you. Got one back?
It's their one in chicken. No. No, it wasn't like that.
That's what he's checking. You're going to do the revolver. The big revolver that you're practicing with. Yeah, he was making sure the clip was empty. So what he did is he took the clip out, Now, it's easier to lock a gun back with an empty clip in it. So that's what he was doing. And then he will hand me the gun. Now that when a gun is, when all modern automatic pistols are unloaded, if the clip's empty, they do this. Mm-hmm. And it makes it easy because you know it's unloaded. So this is a 15 round magazine. So these are high capacity, what are called high capacity. You get lots of shots.
They're stacked side by side.
They're double stacked. Yeah. That's why it's wide. I actually don't like them because they're too wide for my hands. Pass some around, those around so people can see. These are actually the same kind of bullets a cop would carry. These are hollow points. A good 9mm hollow point makes an entry hole that's 9mm in diameter and makes an exit hole that's probably about 3 inches in diameter. My 45 makes an entry hole that's about a half an inch in diameter and makes an exit hole that's about like that. So the amount of damage inside the body is huge.
How's the armor penetration?
Nothing. These are not made to penetrate. However, a handgun's effective range realistically is 25 yards at most. And at less than that, I promise you from across this room, if you're wearing body armor and I shoot with my 45, you're picking yourself up off the ground. Because it's like getting hit in the chest with a baseball bat.
Right.
A baseball bat with a point that big round on the front.
Yeah,
so,
just because it stops the bullet doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
When I was in EMT school, we watched a video about a cop that got shot in the chest from about me to you with a 38 special, which is not an amazingly huge round. His vest stopped it. It bruised his heart, and had he not gone to the doctor, he would have been dead within a day.
Wow.
38 caliber is about the same size as that.
Yeah, 38 caliber is this size round. I actually have empty brass for a lot of different calibers to compare.
So
these are really hard.
But if you want to stop a zombie, you want something that's higher caliber, so there's more stopping power.
If it's
a big one.
That's kind of a myth.
Right?
You should carry the highest caliber you can hit something with. Generally, the bigger the caliber, the more the recoil, the harder the gun is to handle.
Right.
A 22 caliber hole is better than a 45 caliber bang, is a way a friend of mine put it. You can't hit with it, it does you no good.
That's true.
The military went to 9mm because 45 will actually go through a human being, but the military is required to use a full metal jacket, which is, this would not, does not have the hole in it. A 45 full metal jacket might go through that.
Now the idea behind a hollow point, is it fragments, yeah?
Mushrooms. These are actually jacketed hollow points, and the idea is that it gets inside you before it mushrooms.
Okay.
Where non-jacketed hollow points had a problem with not penetrating.
Would making your own rounds so that you have fragmenting bullets be more practical for zombies?
No.
Okay.
Like I said, that's going to come out the side of a quarter.
If the zombies have bulletproof vests on and a helmet.
That's going to come out the size of a quarter.
Right.
The advantage of these, I think these are the brand we have in here.
If soldiers get turned into zombies, that'd be really dangerous.
Yeah.
The advantage of most of these, you see how they have the copper wrapped around the hollow point?
Yeah.
That is because when it mushrooms, that copper does this.
Oh.
And they're sharp.
Okay.
Oh.
So if you're assuming a circulatory system,
yes,
it raises the chance of nicking an artery.
Great, okay.
Do you have an actual bullet that's been shot?
I don't. I actually was talking to Merrick, and if we ever get to go to the range and take pictures of stuff, I would also like to. Capturing bullets is tough. The cheapest way to do it is in a 5-gallon bucket with a couple phone books in the bottom, then filled with water and a lid put on it. But you only get to use it once because the water then leaks out. But that's how much it takes to stop a handgun. I have seen them, the range that you, WSI that used to exist, had a bunch of them that they kept to show people. This one. So the other type of handgun. I love that she called this a puny one. Yeah, it does shoot. So this is a 357 Magnum
Jesus
revolver. She's not, but both my boys have shot this one. My other son's not here.
Fire
The advantage to this, okay, so the advantage to an automatic,
which one is
high capacity.
That one.
The advantage to this high capacity magazine, I get 15 shots.
Yep.
My 45 gets 8 shots. This only gets 6.
Sorry, your 45 being the one on your hip?
Yeah, okay. So. So this is my 45. It's actually, the recoil's a bitch because this is an all aluminum frame gun that is made to be able to be worn anywhere. So it's teeny, it's light, and it shoots a huge bullet.
So it kicks.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the bigger your gun, or the bigger the bullet, the bigger the bullet, the more the recoil, the heavier the gun, the less the recoil. And so you kind of want to balance that. So she is, the proper way to, once you unload it, if you put your finger through the cylinder, it cannot be loaded and shot. So this was my first gun that I bought. This is a Ruger 357 Magnum with a long barrel. I can get scope mounts for it, which would make the effective range about 50 yards, about the same as a shotgun. This will shoot either 38s or 357s, which is handy. 38s are cheap, 357s, we're talking about stopping powder. So that's a 9mm, 38, and actually if you look, it'll go in my cylinder. You can get an adapter that will make this shoot these same bullets. 38's about another half again as long as that, and a 357 is about twice that. And so you just more and more power. Another thing with the revolver is there are almost no moving parts. Lots of moving parts. Guns jam. And when we talk about a gun jam, it will not always close all the way, at which point you have to know how to clear it. If this gun does not fire, you just pull the trigger again. And this is what's called a double action, where in cowboy movies you always seem to have to cock it and pull the trigger. This one, I can actually shoot just like that.
But it's a hard pull, right?
Yeah. If you notice, when I pull the trigger, my pull is suddenly, what, a tenth as much? And it's that much movement. So, and it's the same thing So this is a hammerless. There is no hammer on this. First shot is a hard pull. Actually, well, I guess this one's not. Some of them are. It'll be a hard pull, and then because this one, when you shoot it, it reloads.
Right.
So, of course, without a bullet in it, it won't do it. This one is what's called a double action or a single action only. Mine, I cannot pull the trigger if the hammer's down. If the hammer's back, I can. The appropriate way actually to carry these, as scary as it looks, is with the hammer back in the safety. Because I cannot pull the trigger. The other thing some guns have is what's called a grip safety. If it's in your belt, if this is not down, I cannot pull the trigger.
The one on the knife is just the opposite. So it's carry safety.
Oh yeah, so yeah, this is very interesting, and I've not seen it on my gun, and it's hard to show it off without pointing the gun at everybody. The safety is actually right there. If your finger's not on the trigger, if I don't actually depress that, I can't pull the trigger.
Oh, so you depress it next to the trigger?
It's actually in the center of the trigger.
Interesting.
So what I'm doing is I'm catching just the edge of the trigger.
Right.
So different guns have different safeties. Again, the advantage of an of a revolver, they generally have no safety. Because if the hammer's down your pull so far, it's hard to accidentally pull it. With modern ones, there's even a bar. There's a gap between the hammer and the pin that when you pull the trigger, and if you guys want to come up and look, I'll show you, a transfer bar comes up. So if this were loaded and I dropped it, I would actually have to bend the hammer about an eighth of an inch to fire. And that's case-hardened steel. So I'd have to put in a vise and hit it with a hammer.
So you said with a scope, the effective range of the Magnum and the shotgun is pretty similar.
Yeah, pretty similar. And actually, if I had a bigger, like a 44 Magnum, which I want but don't own, is definitely about 50 yards. I think the record, there's a guy who dropped a deer with a 44 Magnum, a scope 44 Magnum at 100 yards.
Okay.
But he was a professional shooter,
at
so...
At 50 yards, which would you rather have against a zombie?
Depends on how...
Or how many zombies?
It depends on a lot of things. Do I have to carry the ammunition? Am I mobile? I carry my 45 in this bag. This is a locking gun case. Of course, it's soft side, so if somebody's determined, it'll keep kids out.
Sure.
And you just put a lock through here. I carry 2 spare magazines.
Okay.
I have about 21 rounds, although one of these I thought was a 10-round magazine. And this one is actually, I guess we're not. Often I will carry one that is alternating full metal jackets and hollow points. So I have options.
I'm sorry, you'll have one clip of each, or they alternate in the magazine?
One alternates in the magazine. Because that way, if you have somebody in body armor or somebody in a car, it's bang, bang, and you know you've shot one of each. Now, I just watched Zombieland in preparation for this. I was told I had to watch it.
I haven't seen it yet. How is
and
it?
I disagree with rule number 2.
Which was what?
Double tap.
Okay.
Waste of ammo, hit them the first time where you want to hit them. So, that's handguns.
Well, but I mean,
but
for...
the rule is there because if you've made a mistake...
Yeah, I know.
You need to make...
Right. Well, again, I hit a happy medium...
And if you're a 20-year-old kid who's never handled a gun...
Well, and I hit that happy medium between the zombie handbook and Zombieland. Okay. You are not going to find a truck full of ammunition and
right.
guns. Conserve ammunition. However, you know, I'm not quite as extreme as... So the next, going to talk about...
Question.
Yes?
How long does it take to reload for sweaters, especially in the revolver?
Oh, where'd my revolver case go? The thing about a revolver...
Speed loaders.
It takes me... that long. Granted, I dropped one. And so, oh yeah, here. So take one of these. Take two. To compare, there's a 9mm and a 357 round. I forgot I had.
You can pass that 45 round.
But yeah, take the 45 round too. Yeah. And when I carried my revolver, it was my first carry gun. It's not a very practical carry gun because it's freaking huge. No.
What's it weigh?
Enough that the recoil's not bad.
I mean, like 4 or 5 pounds?
Yeah, probably. Like I said, when we're done, everybody can come in. Because my goal is, especially for people who've never handled a gun, to at least, if you're comfortable with it, pick it up, get comfortable with how they feel. Because I think nobody should be afraid of guns. You should respect guns, but just like fire, it's a tool. But yeah, I actually had to carry this in a shoulder holster. Because it was just, I mean, I have a hip holster for it now, but if you look at how far that goes down, there, you know, now my goal is, because I actually go out to a buddy's farm, I'm totally getting a gunslinger holster for this, and I'm going to learn to spin it.
Nice.
Yeah, this one weigh is by far the heaviest, because this is an all-steel construction. This is a plastic gun, what I like to call a plastic gun, it's actually a polymer. The barrel is metal, so the hole you can take it through an airport and push it. And they're very reliable. Many cops use these, or Sig Sauers, which are the other ones that I really like. Double stacks. This is all metal, but it's all aluminum. This actually weighs less than plastic. And she cleaned it last night.
Alright.
That's the other thing. Get a good cleaning kit. My cleaning kit actually fits in my shooting bag.
She cleaned it last night, and when she wanted to load it, I went downstairs.
Yep. So, the ultimate in home defense. You can pick one of these up, and how you unload that, make sure that's unloaded is, make sure they're not in there. This is the most common shotgun in America. It is a Wingmaster 12-gauge pump. You can get it with wood, you can get it with, you know, vinyl or nylon, you know, every configuration. You can get it for slugs in a scope. You can get it with a short barrel or a long barrel. This one is currently plugged because for hunting, you can only hold 3 rounds in it. But if I pull this out, I can put 5 in it. Next one up from this would be a Mossberg, which you can get an 8-round tube, which is what cops carry. But And it's also probably one of the most distinct sounds in the world is, you know, that. And it just grabs the base of your skull and you're like, shit. It's also, and again, don't want to point anybody, but when you're staring down one of these, it looks like the London fucking tunnel. And the amount of shock that comes out of it is huge. Yep. Just set them right there. Where'd my bag go? Get them out of the bag, please. Yeah. So I have one shotgun shell that's actually cool because the plastic see-through, so you can see what's inside of it. Yep. This is a double-up buckshot. Actually, I say that. That might be split. Because I can't tell if that's a slug in there or not. But so this is what you would shoot zombies with.
So I've never completely understood the physics of a shotgun shell. If you hit something with it, like literally an inch off of the barrel, do they just get hit with, like, the shotgun-sized shell part of it? Does it not start spreading yet?
No, it starts spreading as soon as it empties the barrel. So, okay, yeah. So this is what it looks like after it's empty.
Yeah.
So this is the other. Oh, the other big variation in this, and it, a lot of it has to do with how well you can shoot, is what's called choke. The choke is, so a shotgun barrel does this.
Inside?
Inside. Oh, because the whole point is how much do you want that to spread?
Right.
The tighter the choke, the less spread you have.
Right.
Okay. You know, I want, most trap shooters want a pretty wide spread because it doesn't make it take much to shoot them. I watched a guy shoot 50 for 50 with the tightest choke you can buy. Actually, that's not true. He shot 50 for 49. He hit two at once. It was impressive, but he was a professional trap shooter.
Used to be called Rod.
No. You can get a rifled barrel, and it's only for making, because I can buy that with a slug in it.
Yeah.
And it's an ounce and a half slug, so it's a big chunk of lead. You can also get it with, I mean, and there's all sorts of special. You can get half a slug and buckshot. You can get a split slug, which actually is in two pieces, and I've seen that shot into a target at 25 feet and they hit about that far apart. And again, 3/4 of an ounce each. You can get hollow point slugs, and those make an entry hole more than half an inch in diameter and an exit hole like this. You know,
are they really good scary?
You can get what are called dragon breath round, which, what? Yep. You can get dragon breath round, which are magnesium flake.
Oh!
Lights on the back of the barrel. You can get half dragon's breath, half buckshot. So you get buckshot and a fireball. There's actually an awesome video I should post about, it's actually a training video for cops that's been declassified, for how to protect yourself from various shotgun rounds and how to use various shotguns. And they go through dragon's breath. Oh, you can get flechettes.
Wait, you can protect yourself from shotgun rounds?
Oh yeah, birdshot won't go through a vest.
Okay.
But they're talking about like,
sorry.
Well, they were showing stuff like
birdshot. Slugs are like half the size of the ball bearings that are in that.
Less than that, even. Yeah. So most birdshot's smaller than a standard bead. You can get, and but they were also showing stuff like, you know, will a steel mailbox work to take cover behind? And against that, it will. Against a slug, it won't. A slug will go through both sides of a steel mailbox. A slug out of the right shotgun will go through the engine block of a car. So just think about how much metal's in there. They're talking about, they'll show up through the door of a car, through, you know, will your car door protect you? Will the glass protect you? Will, and it all depends on what you're being shot at.
Can you shoot through, this kind of wall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that buckshot would probably go through the outside and have almost no energy. Two other kinds of rounds that they cover that are, I don't have because they're really expensive. There are flechette rounds, which are basically steel darts, about 50 of them, and they were designed for Vietnam because they would penetrate brush. So fighting the Viet Cong, they penetrate brush better than buckshot. The thing they've discovered is they also penetrate bulletproof vests. They will go through a vest. They will not go through the trauma plate of the vest. So bulletproof vests, I don't know who's seen them. They actually often have a ceramic plate right here that covers heart, and most of the lungs. So basically where, if you're taught to shoot center mass, where you would shoot. The other thing is they have very interesting that are actually not meant to be used against human. They're called dustbuster rounds. And they are compressed lead powder in a in some kind of disintegratable shell. And they're made for going through doors, is what they're actually designed for. However, if you hit a person with them, if they don't die of the gunshot wound, they will die of lead poisoning because you can't pull the dust out.
Oh, God.
They're actually made for hostage situations. So if you think about this door,
right,
where it's got the hinge point.
That's what they shoot the hinges out with, right?
If I'm standing behind that door as a hostage, I can't shoot it with a regular round because I'll kill my hostage.
Yeah.
And these, as soon as they impact, they disintegrate.
Yeah.
So once they disintegrate, they have no energy. And it will blow that hinge into a hole that big around and have nothing behind it. So you could, I mean, if you're leaning up against it, it would damage you. But if you're at least about 3 inches away, nothing.
So the only way you'd be able to practically shoot someone with it is pretty much point blank anyway, right?
Oh, no, because it's contained until it hits something.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. The thing. They're contained until they hit something. And they would ruin your day. Because it weighs as much as a slug. So the other things I have a pair of rifles.
They're so creative in ways to fuck other people up.
Yeah! There is no creativity like we found how to kill each other.
That was the first time I ever saw, I don't remember if it was a Glock or a Sig, but my buddy's brother is a state trooper.
Okay,
and
yeah,
he let me handle it, and it, like, I... My uncle hunts and does target shooting, so I learned how to handle guns when I was a kid, just, you know, to respect them, and I shot them very little, but I knew of them, and they never scared me like holding the Glock did, because I knew that I was holding an instrument that was only designed to fucking kill people.
Pretty much.
It's terrifying.
Except, you know, again, like something like this.
Plastic.
You know what? A gun is simply a force multiplier.
Yeah.
Just like any weapon. All weapons are force multipliers. Guns are just really, really efficient at it. And my .45, if I get close enough to hit it, I could bring down food.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to shoot rabbits with it because there'd be no food left.
Mm. Rabbit stew.
You'd have rabbit
stew.
You'd
have a lot of lead in it.
Rabbit mist, just inhale.
Yeah, rabbit and hope the blood's not infected, though. So the two rifles I brought, one of the big things with guns, and it's kind of a joke amongst me and some of my friends, but it's actually something to think about for any emergency, is you will run out of ammo at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The less types of ammo you have to carry, the better. So if you have a collective of people that have a plan, you should all own at least the same caliber of gun,
right,
if not identical guns, because like the Glock, you know what? I have four magazines here, and then we had a fifth one today. That means anybody who has a Glock 9mm can take that magazine, put it in their gun, and use it. They actually make a backpack rifle that takes this.
Huh.
It is a folding rifle. I got to see one at the range. It folds into a square about this big.
Huh.
Little carbine. Unfold the barrel, snap it in, shoots a 9mm round, but with the longer barrel, you get more accuracy.
What?
And more penetration. And it's made to go in a hiker's backpack.
Is that the MP5 or whatever?
No, the MP5. I don't want an MP5. I've shot an Uzi. I've not shot an MP5, and Uzi's the only 9mm I'd ever buy. Not that I can legally own one. Because it was fun. The Israelis, when they make guns, they don't fuck around.
No, they don't.
Oh, they make good guns.
How practical is it? You talked about changing the plug on the shotgun so that you can get more rounds. How practical is it, really, from what we've seen in movies, to saw a shotgun off?
Oh, saw it off? If you don't care about accuracy, easy. Take an axe on and saw the barrel off. You've destroyed your choke, so there's no more of that.
Right.
And this one's tough because this one's made to be a hunting shotgun. So, I mean, you could cut the stock off, but you still have the slope. Where if you get, you can get, the Mossberg has a pistol grip.
Right.
And you can actually put a pistol grip on the slide. And those ones are more what the survivalists.
And I mean, that changes the accuracy to what, 20 yards tops?
If that.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the point of the shot off?
Yeah, I mean, the point of a shot off shotgun
destroy the choke.
So that if I'm right here, I can hit all three of you at once.
Oh, I see.
I mean, because that's about the spread you get.
Well, I thought the point of it was the concealability.
Well, conceal it too, but you know, you've gone from So that shotgun patterns, you pattern a shotgun at 30 feet, and you put, I can't remember what size, but a target about yay, and you shoot it and see how many fit inside that circle. And I was shooting just paper plates with that at about 30 feet, and I probably put 80% inside a paper target. If I were to saw it off, I'd put 15% inside that circle. So you're talking about, you know, suddenly my spread is this.
Okay.
And again, it depends. With buckshot, you probably only need to hit him with one. With birdshot, you need to hit him with a lot.
Okay.
I think for me anyway, that if the point were to
Yeah, just, no, you
just
can,
the stock.
So it is not sawed off. It is legal at 16 and a half inches measured from here.
Okay. So that's still not very long.
Yeah, I mean, that's two hand spans of it.
Okay.
That's about that.
Wouldn't the recoil be
hard? Oh, yes.
Saw off the stock.
Well, a sawed off shotgun, you don't want to shoot powerful rounds out there.
What is the point of sawing it off? Is
two
it
things. Well, we were just talking about two things.
Okay.
Concealability and spread.
Okay.
What I was saying is if I were to saw that shotgun off down to its plug,
uh-huh.
from here I could probably hit all four of you in one shot.
Now,
they'd just get dusted,
yeah.
okay.
but I could take you two out, because my spread would be...
Okay.
Because you're the shorter your barrel and the more open the barrel, the bigger your spread.
So I suppose it's a matter of whether you're dealing with hordes or smaller groups
of
zombies.
Yeah.
My
plan,
he has
putting
these days 45,
just
so it was.
Now, one of the most practical weapons to get, if you have transportation, because it weighs a ton, although it makes a great club,
mm-hmm.
is an antique 30-06 rifle. This is from World War I.
Why an antique as opposed
because
to
you can find them anywhere.
Okay.
Cost and availability.
What is it called?
This is a 30-06. It's the round the military used up until Vietnam.
It's bolt action.
This is a bolt action 30-06.
Okay. How old is that one?
This one is from 1917, and it still shoots like a dream.
Awesome.
The military made these, but they're not Springfield, so they packed them in Cosmoline and never touched them again. So they were packed away very nicely until my grandfather bought a pair.
Ah, okay.
This one nicely has a sling. Can expand it to carry. Can use it as a shooting sling. Five rounds in here. So you only get five shots before you reload.
And reloading takes a while, right?
Actually, it doesn't. Because of another wonderful World War I invention called the stripper clip.
Oh.
And with these old guns, they don't always work awesome. But this is actually Korean War era 30-06 ammunition.
I've seen that in a World War II movie.
Yeah, I would say.
So they just got a little steel pin wrapped around them or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's a just a little. Daddy, here, just a minute. Catch. I didn't hit anybody.
No.
These are full metal jacket ammunition. This is about a little bit smaller than the 9mm. This is a 30 caliber round. This has an effective range of 1,000 meters if you can hit the target at that range. Yep,
now, those are bigger than a hunting 30-06 round.
Nope,
right?
30-06, 30-06.
Okay.
Modern military uses 308, which is ballistically almost identical to this. It's a shorter pull, so your chamber's smaller, is the only difference. But the actual trajectory out of the barrel is almost identical. So the whole 308, 3.6 argument is wrong.
I thought they theoretically did more damage once they hit.
Bullets weigh about the same. They're the same caliber.
Okay.
They're both 30 caliber rounds. The advantage of 3.6 is that it is a civilian round now. It's one of the most common hunting rounds in America, which means you can find it anywhere. The other advantage of either 30-06 or 308 is they're both 30 caliber. That means the part that you actually shoot is the same. And what that means is that I can go jack somebody for their 308, rip the bullets apart, dump the powder out, rip the primers out, reload my ammo with it.
Oh, nice.
Goes both ways. Any 30 caliber, that's why everybody I know recommends a 30 caliber something, because you can do that with
whatever.
30-06, 308, 30-30, the bullets are going to look weird because they're a flat-nosed bullet, and they're not going to weigh as much, but they'll shoot. Theoretically, I could do it with a 30 caliber handgun round and make hollow point rifle rounds. Anything. 30 caliber is the most common diameter of bullet out there.
So it's important to have good firearms, enough ammunition, like exchangeable firearms with exchangeable ammunition, and also the speed loading clip thingies.
Yep, and stock. I have a whole bunch of these. I buy these in the original bandoliers. They shipped them to the Korean War soldiers. This is not the best ammunition in the world, and it's mostly what I target practice with. I wouldn't hunt with this. But I can get 60 rounds for about $20.
Do these work? How long do they last? Like, if you get them wet, or what kind of...
Depends on the gun. This one's a battle rifle is going to last longer than a civilian gun because they were made for the military. If you get like a M16, it's going to last longer because it's mostly plastic. If you have a cleaning kit, it'll last forever. I mean, if you get it wet, you find a place to sit down and clean it off, you're good. The other rifle I brought is also a 30-06. Now, one of the issues I have with this one, I happen to be left-handed. Left-handed bolt actions, or left-handed running a... My brother. Running a bolt action with the offhand is hard. I actually was looking at getting a left-handed rifle because I was going to hunt with this. But this is more valuable as a collector piece than me scoping it. Now, the other cool thing about this rifle that I didn't think to mention, this is the sight. Mm-hmm. It also has a rangefinder sight, range to 1600 meters.
Wow.
You can hit it at that range, go for it. I can't see 1600 meters. Yep. That's a mile. But granted, that was made for shooting at convicts. You know, you're not picking an individual person out, you're picking out 1,000 men.
Yeah.
And just raining lead down on top.
Yeah. Just to let you know, you have about another 5 minutes before you take a break.
Okay, I only have one more.
Cool.
So, since I'm left-handed and didn't have money, my dad sent me home with this. This is actually his hunting rifle, or one of them. This is a modern Remington, made by the same company who makes that, 30-06 rifle. Advantage to this is it's semi-automatic. It is... I mean, it's not a military rifle, but... 4-round magazine. I can buy 30-round magazines for
it. Okay.
I found out. Wooden stock, totally doesn't look like a battle rifle. Range to 1,000 meters. This works a lot like, you know, somewhere between the shotgun and the automatic. That's how you make sure it's empty. This one, as opposed to a military rifle, has a button here, actually on the clip to release it.
That's how you load it. So theoretically, because it's a semi, it's easier for you to handle than
I don't have to work a slide, and I can shoot 5 rounds as fast as I can aim and pull the trigger. This is a moderately low powered scope. It's a 5x9 scope. It is adjustable. You know, I'm not shooting 1,000 meters with it. My goal is to get to where I can shoot well at about 300 to 400.
My big question for you before you finished was, come the zombie apocalypse, where do you get guns?
Local gun store.
I mean, where would you find them that they're not prohibitively locked down, I suppose?
Walmart would be my first place.
Because you can just bust the glass.
Yep. Yeah. The less protected the sporting goods store is, or pawn shop.
How would you know that without having to go in, though?
You don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure Walmart, because they actually don't carry very many guns, and they don't carry high-end guns, and employees don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some place like Wade or WSI, last place I worked. I had a friend who worked at WSI and was working when somebody decided to hold up the store, even though there were two cops in front of it, cop cars in front of it.
And it's a gun store.
Yeah. In this state, all gun store employees are required to carry a gun.
God, I had no idea. That's just... Wow. That's just suicidal.
So, if anybody wants to come look during the break and ask questions, that's awesome.
So what about ammo? Walmart?
Yeah, Walmart's one of the two cheapest places in the county to buy ammunition.
What's the other?
The other place I found is Ben's Gun and Loan in Renton.
Nice.
Which is where I bought this gun. It's actually a pawn shop in front and a gun store in back.
Thank
it's the
for
last pawn shop I'd ever robbed, too. Just saying.
Yeah.
Ben's been in love.
Thank you for the presentation.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, you were asking how heavy the guns are and stuff. I will stick around and let people.
Cool, thanks.
Fall.